One verse, and it's different from your bulletin. It's Psalm 119, verse 52. That's Psalm 119, verse 52. It reads, I have remembered your ordinances, i.e. your laws, from of old, O Lord, and comforted myself. The word of the Lord, written for you. Let me begin by simply stating what the leadership of the church has decided, at least for the next few weeks, as we deal with this current situation. First and foremost, let me state, I have no desire to shut down Sunday service. So 10 o'clock Sunday service will continue. Now, saying this, if you feel unsafe at all and want to stay at home, it's totally understandable. We put the sermons online. It's put on the TV channel in Torrington, and we're looking into somehow maybe streaming it or uploading the services on the internet somehow. But Sunday service will continue at 10 o'clock. We are asked, as I said before, that we don't shake hands. So again, pretend you're Scottish, and we're just going to greet people at the beginning, at the end of service, but again, try not to have too much physical contact. We are canceling the communion for Lent. We were going to do communion every Sunday, but we're going to cancel that through March. We will have the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of April, as per our tradition. We'll have it, as of now, on Monday, Thursday, and also Easter Sunday. However, the diaconate has ordered self-sealing, pre-filled individual communion servings. It's a little cup that's sealed over. It has juice in it with a little wafer, so we can each take it individually. Besides that, everything is canceled for 2 weeks. So through Sunday, and including Sunday, March 29th, everything's canceled. Sunday school for children, Sunday school for adults, canceled. Confirmation, canceled. Tuesday study, canceled. Wednesday study, canceled. And Dan's men's study is canceled, at least for the church. Pastor Dan and myself are looking into ways of putting our studies online. I'm going to try to get my Wednesday night online. I'm not sure if it'll be this Wednesday or next Wednesday, but we'll try to do something, maybe Google Hangouts or something of that nature. All committee meetings are canceled for this month. So that means no council or CE this month. Coffee hour is canceled. Diaper bank is canceled for this month. And of course, our special congregational meeting for the bylaws after church is also canceled with a new date to be announced. At the end of this month, the leadership will reevaluate and prayerfully decide where to go forward from this. We'll keep people informed by email, and you can always go to the church webpage. We're trying to keep that updated frequently, and that's sccwinstead.org. So again, to summarize, 10 o'clock worship is going to continue. Everything else is canceled. What do you think? Amen. So what's your reaction to this? I don't know about you, but I've been going through several emotions. First of all, perplexed. I've said many times this week, I mean, we're in new territory. How many of you have lived through something like this? This is unique. I mean, we're shutting down the globe on some level over concern of this virus. And that leads to concern. When we look at Italy and what's going on in Italy, that's very concerning. If you read about the Spanish influenza of 1918 to 1920, that's very concerning. So there's no doubt concern. There's also probably frustration for many people. I mean, are we overreacting to this?
Yes.
Maybe. I must say, I'm emotionally kind of with you. I'm like, there's times I get really skeptical about this. I mean, as of this morning, there's been 20 cases in Connecticut and no deaths in New England, praise God. So I appreciate some of us might be frustrated, like, what are we doing? This is such a modern reaction. But how should we, the church, react? Where do we go for wisdom? Where do we go for comfort? Obviously, we go to the Almighty, but in particular, where do we go? And there's many good options. Let me give you one. You could really focus on God's sovereignty. Give you a quick quote from our Lord. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. So what has happened is by the hand of the Lord, and therefore we trust in Him. You could go to Christ's Gospel. That's, of course, an amazing place to go for comfort. And I have to read the end of Romans 8. We've read it many times. But to hear the power and the hope that we have in the Gospel, Paul writes, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Just as is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. So we can look to the sovereignty of God. We can look to the gospel. Those are good and great places to seek comfort. But I must say, through this last week, I've strangely found great comfort in God's law. Because God's law is comforting. We read that in Scripture itself. Again, our sermon text, Psalm 119, 52. "I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comforted myself." I have thought about God's laws, God's commandments, to bring myself comfort. Now, I say this is strange, because, well, it's not. It's biblical. But I must say, with modern Christianity, we tend not to focus too much on God's holiness and God's law. And I must say, we Protestants, traditional conservative Protestants, we tend to focus rightly on what's called the second use of the law, the evangelical use of the law, that it's a mirror, that it shows us our sins and drives us to the cross of Christ. And there we receive the gospel and the freedom from the condemnation of the law. And that's a beautiful thing. However, the simple use of the law also, as commandments, is a good thing. And you hear that in the New Testament. Let me just give you a few examples. The Lord Jesus, in Luke 16, says, "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than from one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." Or Paul, writing in 1 Timothy to a young pastor, again, in the New Testament, writes, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." Or from Romans 7. "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good." Again, from the New Testament after the cross. And from Romans chapter 3, verse 31, we read, "Do we nullify the law through faith?" You know, that great teaching, we're justified by faith alone. May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And so, this week, I must confess, I have found great comfort in the law in this time of confusion. And let me give you two examples. Question: should we take the coronavirus seriously? Here's the answer: yes. Why? The magistrates have spoken. Using the old term, magistrate, for our political leaders. We have been commanded by the governor and the president of the United States, the governor of Connecticut and the president of the United States, to take this seriously. Therefore, we must comply. Scripture is very clear. Our leader's authority comes from God. Read that in the New Testament explicitly in Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Read in Romans 13 verse 1. "Every person is to be in subjugation to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those who exist are established by God." And that's referring to the Roman Empire. So, wait a minute, Pastor, are we to mindlessly follow or obey our politicians? No. However, their authority comes from God. Why is Governor Lamont our governor? Why is President Trump our president? Because God has willed it. God has ordained our leaders, and we must submit to all lawful, godly authority as long as it does not directly contradict Scripture. This modern American notion that I will only respect those who earn my respect is completely unbiblical. We Christians know better. Our leaders have been ordained by God, and therefore we must heed their words, because God commands it. But there's great comfort to that. There's great comfort to that. Because our focus should be on trusting in God. And God has indirectly spoken through our political leaders. Again, it's on the same level of Scripture, no doubt about that. But Scripture commands we must heed and respect lawful authority. So therefore, starting to ponder all the what-ifs, is this really as bad? Is this as bad as the swine flu? Are we overreacting? I mean, there's time to have that discussion individually. But the magistrate has spoken. We are to take this seriously. And therefore, our now mission is to focus on the task before and the task in front of us. And that actually brings great comfort. You know, instead of getting, should we do this, should we not do this? You know, is this for real, is this not for real? We have been requested by the governor and the president to take this seriously. Therefore, we will. I love that line from Matthew 8. If you remember the faithful centurion, where the centurion says to Jesus Christ, "For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to another, my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." There's the law and faith working together. Our magistrates have spoken. They have not said something that is unlawful, contrary to Scripture. Therefore, we respond faithfully. And there's a great comfort in that. Because again, we're not debating what the mission is, but now we just have the mission. And therefore, our portion is now obedience, action, and focus. So that's, I think, an example where the law actually brings great comfort and great focus. Let me give another example. What should we shut down and what should we not shut down? Here, too, the law gives guidance. What's the great summation of the law? You all know it. Love God, love your neighbor. And that's our Lord's summation of the Ten Commandments. But that brings clarity. That helps us to prioritize. And it brings comfort. So what is the most important thing we do here? The worship of the Lord on the Lord's Day on Sunday. We're not going to cancel that. Again, if you want to be safe, by all means be safe. You might just see my ugly face on the YouTube channel, myself, and that's it, and that's okay. But the public worship of the Lord is going to continue. And we're going to heed that. And like we did this morning, we heeded the president's request for a time of prayer. But other things which are not clearly directly commanded in Scripture, we have freedom on. Committees are important, but we can cancel them for a while. Studying the Bible, meditating on the Word of God is very important, but weekly Bible study at a particular location is not necessarily commanded, though certainly helpful over one time's life. And therefore, we can postpone that for a little bit. But even harder ones, the law helps. Give an example. Should we cancel the diaper bank?
No.
Well, I've asked that of many people, should we cancel the diaper bank? That's the response I gave, and that's the response most people gave. Yes, we are called to love our neighbor. However, we're also called to love the saints in the church. And as Paul writes, "So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith." If we have a diaper bank open, yes, we're helping the poor, and that's a good thing, and I'm glad we do that. However, many of the folks who staff the diaper bank have some serious health issues, or their loved ones have serious health issues. And so going with that, we're going to cancel the diaper bank, at least for this month. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the right decision, and I'm open to correction. But that's using the law to bring some focus and some comfort. Yes, loving our neighbor is an important thing. It's a secondary thing after loving God. But we also should show concern for the saints. And again, we're going to reevaluate this at the end of the month. These are not easy things, but the law does bring comfort. So, where's our comfort? Where's our hope? Where's our assurance? Where's our focus? Of course, it's God alone. And there's many aspects to God. Again, there's great comfort in God's sovereignty. There's great comfort in Christ's gospel. There's great comfort that we turn to the Lord in prayer and not in panic. But there's also great comfort in God's law. It's a sure lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And when we use the law lawfully, good things happen. Yes, we're freed by the gospel. Yes, we're freed from the condemnation the law brings. But that is because we've been given the Spirit. And as we are freed from the condemnation of the law, we are called to walk by the Spirit, which means we fulfill the law by loving God and loving our neighbor. And you see that in Romans, this great mixture of these things, that from the law brings us to the gospel, and from the gospel we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit then allows us to fulfill the law, not out of fear, but out of thanksgiving. As Paul writes, "For the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So, brothers and sisters, I ask for your prayers, I ask for your patience, I ask for your wisdom. If you think the church is doing something inappropriate, we are a congregational church. Please give myself or Pastor Dan or Bob or Jeff a call, one of the leaders of the church. But let's be faithful. Let's know that the Almighty is sovereign. Let us know the freedom and the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But have our thinking and our focus be on the commandments of God, which give us direction, which is a wonderful and blessed thing. Amen.